A check of 1, 2. That means check your phone and make sure the volume's off too.
You're right.
I know. I'm always right. Let's be honest. Welcome back to another episode of Crime Poppers. First one of 2021. So what's up, Mr. Gleba? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, Mrs. Gleba.
Are you excited for this episode?
I am so excited.
Your face is just showing so much excitement right now.
I'm just tired.
A little bit of technical difficulties getting our situation ready to go, but we are now ready to go. So I wanted to let you know, because I don't think I update you all the time on our stats, and I'm not sure if you actually check the stats, but we have 37 right now, as it stands, we have 3,760 downloads total, since we started the podcast. So that's pretty cool. I think those are pretty significant achievements given where we're at. And I am so excited for 2021 and what this podcast, what the potential this podcast has. And I'm just so excited. And this week I have a crazy, it blows my mind that I have never heard of this case until this week. And I think after I tell you this case, it's going to completely change your mindset about the Lululemon store. Have you ever heard of the Lululemon murder?
No. What the heck? I love Lululemon. So, I'm wearing literally everything.
Everything you're wearing right now is Lululemon. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's our spot. That's where
I've seen some TikToks on like people hating on Lululemon because like the way they act, like, oh, is your thing pilling? Oh, were you like doing any like running?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not meant for running. Actually, I was just walking. Well, it's not really meant for walking either. You know.
Or like, they have like strict, because I remember, because they do have a pretty good return policy, right? I've taken back
items. It seems very like subjective based on the person though. Like some people are like, oh yeah, sure. And then some people are like, oh, like really?
It doesn't depends.
Doesn't look like you take care of it.
Like, yeah. Did you put it in the dryer? Did you put it in the washing machine? Did you not wash it with a hand board?
You know, when they start asking you like, oh, what do you use this for? And you can just totally tell like nothing, just sitting, you know, you're just like
reading.
You
book.
Can tell they're trying to find some fault. And exactly. So I'm like, oh, yoga. I wear Reebok to yoga class. I put on my yoga pants and shirt. And then I go into the class. The minute I walk out through that threshold, I take it all off. Oh, really? At what point do you take it off? Like, immediately after. Like, you just know, like, yeah, that's right, Karen. That's right. You got nothing on me. You know? She's like, well, let me talk to my manager. It's like, yeah, that's right.
And the manager like doesn't exist. They just go in the back and like check their phone. They come back. Okay, I guess we can make an exception.
An exception though, like this one time.
I remember
like, I'm gonna put in the database that we gave you an exception.
I remember the last time, maybe not the one of the few last times that I was in Lululemon. I was stoned off my face. Remember that?
Yeah, from you getting your eggs.
And I remember pulling. I remember like grabbing stuff to buy and like gave you stuff to buy for me. And I like didn't even remember the next day. I was like.
You're like,
I bought this.
You're like, what? I didn't want that.
Yeah. So I am so shocked that I hadn't heard of this before, because you think of something happened in such a popular brand like Lululemon that you would have heard about this.
They really did change the marketplace.
Well, it did, and this happened in 2011, so it's not like it was. Oh, wow.
So I was like on kind of the climax of the hype.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of the.
Now it's kind of like overrated, I think, as far as what the main consensus is.
Like Lululemon as a brand?
A little bit. It's like become more and more overrated as far as.
I think
as
you're right. Especially since other options have come out. Well, like the Aerie leggings are amazing. And you see a lot of influencers sharing those now too. So yeah, I think you're right on that. I haven't checked the stock or anything, but I'm sure there's something to that.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say is that it's funny because it's comfortable and it's comfortable. Designed
you
well.
You know, like nothing really looks bad.
That's true.
You can't really screw up too much at Lulu.
But there's some claims that the whole workforce of Lululemon is very like cult-like, I guess you could
say. I've heard that.
Yeah.
People don't like poshy, prissy stuff though, right? Like they hate on it. It's easy to hate on.
Right. And it's expensive. So it's attracting a certain buyer. Yeah. Right. And, you know, it's when you actually stand back and think about it, like for instance, I'm wearing Aerie leggings right now. Like these are like $40, maybe $50. Mm-hmm. And to think about some of their leggings costing $160, when you actually take a step back and think about that, that's absurd to spend $160 on leggings. I don't care like how many bells and whistles. Apparently some of them have like metal lining in them or silver lining in them. Have you heard of this? It's like a sweat wicking component.
What's the Norwex?
Yeah. You know, same idea.
Right? Like, oh, you can.
It kills bacteria.
Wipe raw chicken. Which.
You never bought that.
Never. I'm sorry. It's not like, oh.
But the Norwex, I will say the Norwex cloths. We accept
Lysol for cleaning, you know, clinics and Norwex wipes. Gets rid of COVID.
I wonder what their Norwex branding has been like since COVID. Mm. By the way, all of our household cloths and like dish towels are Norwex. So yeah. I do love it. I think they are amazing.
They make good products.
But the whole bacterial killing thing kind of sketches me out.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Science kind of is my... kind of trust science.
Yeah.
The science isn't there.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of a tangent. But anyways, I want to tell you the story today about a murder that took place in Bethesda, Maryland. And it happened inside a Lululemon store. And I am telling you, this is one of the... I mean, we've only covered, you know, 7 cases so far. But this is one of the craziest cases I've ever... researched, because the victim ended up with 331 wounds, battle wounds. 331. Did you hear that correctly?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Okay, because remember the first case that we covered with Christy Mirak? Like she had like 40. They weren't sure. It was somewhere between 30 and 50 wounds, and they were like, "That was crazy. That's like a violent murder, like a personal attack. Like someone had a very like emotional, you know, reaction to be able to hurt, like stab like 30 to 50 times.
Unsensitive, but like, wouldn't you get tired and like have to take a break and then be like, okay, I got to go back to it? Like,
well, it's interesting that you say that, because that was brought up in this case, because she was beaten with several objects 331 times. And during the whole process of like unveiling what happened, the court was like, the judge sat down and tapped his pen on the table 331 times just to replicate how long that would take. And it just would have taken someone so mentally messed up to be able to follow through with this particular crime. So this is the murder of Jaina Murray. Okay, so before we got into our trailer, I was actually going to mention to you that when I was doing a lot of research and watching a lot of news reports back from this case, they kept referring to this murder happening at the yoga store. Like, it's almost like Lululemon had such a good PR team that they made sure that people were calling it the yoga store instead of saying Lululemon. So I'm guessing that has something to do with like why I personally hadn't heard of this. And I mean, I'm a huge true crime fan. Wait,
so a murder at the store?
Inside the store.
It's like impossible.
Right?
It's so open concept. And then the only thing you have there is like a couple little change room things. I guess the back of the store.
The back of the store. Exactly.
Murder
so
someone at a yoga at a. See, you just sold me on the yoga store.
Okay, so store. It's a great question, because when you think of Lululemon, you think of it in a mall, right? And you have this storefront with other stores around. Well, this particular Lululemon store had a storefront in kind of those like boutique style storefronts where you can't. Yeah, they're like outside buildings. Like
outlet style.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So it's in an upscale town of Bethesda. Like I said, it's very hard to say Bethesda. Bethesda. Okay. So yeah, they have a lot of, there's like a Mercedes-Benz dealership around the corner. Right next door to the Lululemon was a huge Apple store. So the area was beautiful. And one of the books that was written about this case called the Yoga Store Murder, again, they call it the Yoga Store Murder, The Shocking True Account of the Lululemon Athletica by Dan Morse. This book is, goes into so much detail about what happened. They refer to Bethesda as like the Pleasantville. So it was very like, I guess, how would you explain a town that's like expensive and
posh, kind of upscale?
That's a good way. Okay. Posh. Yeah. So this story begins on Saturday, March 12th, when one of the managers of the Lululemon store, Rachel Ortley, I think I'm pronouncing that right, shows up for her shift at 8 a.m. And this particular day on March 12th, 2011, Apple was launching their newest iPad. It was like the iPad 2. So, you know, back then the hype was people were lining up in like the middle of the night or like early morning, 4 or 5 o'clock with their chairs out waiting for these new iPads to come out. So it's a very significant day in the case and the timeline. So as Rachel's coming up to the doors of the Lululemon store, which is directly sharing a wall with the Apple store, she gets to the door and she noticed it's unlocked. And it, like right off the bat, she's like, whoa, that's fucking weird. Because apparently they're very structured with their opening and closing procedures. She's thinking like, dang, someone's going to get fired. Like this door should be locked. So that automatically threw her off. She's like, why is this door unlocked? So she goes inside. And at first, like she doesn't see anything too out of the norm. There's like a few things that are off the shelf. And like maybe look, the store looks a little disheveled. But as she's walking around and she goes more towards the back of the store, she's starting to feel like someone might have been in here that shouldn't have been in here.
She's feeling bad vibes.
Bad vibes. Bad vibes.
Jeez.
So she starts to get freaked out. And if you're by yourself, like young girl in a store that you feel like it could have potentially been a robbery, it can be scary and concerning. Like I wouldn't, if I was an employee, I wouldn't want to risk my life like figuring out what happened here, right? So she's taking precautions. She runs outside and there's people lined up now at the Apple store to get in. And she looks all disheveled. And then this guy, his name's Ryan, this poor soul, man, I can't imagine what this guy would have had to witness through this process. But she goes up to him and she's like, hey, like, I feel like someone broke into the Lululemon store. And do you think you could come with me, like, just to be safe? Like, I want to make sure there's no one still inside the store. And he actually hops out of line to go help her. Like, that's how worried he was for this girl's, like, safety. And just, like, something seemed off, right? So
she must have been cute.
You would say something like that. I'm thinking like, poor Ryan, did he get back in line to get his iPad? Like, did he end up getting an iPad that day is what I want to know. Anyway, so
I don't think he does.
I'd probably go with no based on how this turns out. Rachel and Ryan head back over to the Lululemon store and they go in. And Ryan notices that Rachel is onto something here. The store definitely looks off. And he actually mentions that this is the first time he's ever stepped foot in a Lululemon store. So he's like taking note to like how expensive the things are because he can see price tags. And
it's not that expensive.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is, but it's not like it's
your mic is falling.
But it's not like some, I don't know, like Chanel type. You know what I mean? Like
right.
Where everything's like thousands of dollars.
But like, if you're someone that's never heard of the brand, you walk into a store and you're like $148 for a pair of leggings, you'd be like, what the fuck is this sorcery? Anyways, it doesn't matter. They slowly start making their way back to the back of the store.
Okay.
And Ryan starts to see blood spatter.
Whoa.
And he's like, what the fuck? And then he goes back a little bit further and there's more blood and more blood. And when I tell you, like, I feel like I should probably give like a listener discretion advice. I know that this is true crime and you know kind of what you're getting into when you're listening to these episodes, but this one, like if you look at the crime scene photos, the blood spatter were up to 6 feet high. That's how much blood was splattered everywhere in the back of the store. So he turns the corner and into the back narrow hallway leading out to the back door of the store. You know, the emergency exit where if you open that back door, the alarm's going to go off.
Right.
There was blood pooled right up to that door, even on the back door handle, almost like someone was trying to get out or escape the attack.
Okay, so a couple of crackheads break in, you know, they're looking for some goods. What if in a
Lululemon
some,
store?
Yeah, whatever. They don't. Lights. They don't. They're not biased. They're like, oh, what is this? Maybe they sell lemons. Like, they don't probably know what the hell is going on, right? And so it's like a Hawaiian lemon store. And so, you know, one of them finds something interesting, and then the other one's like, no, I want it or something. And then they just start, like, murdering one of another.
It's
and
funny
then,
you say there's two assailants.
And because there's, you know, one of them's cracked out. He doesn't recognize his own strength. I don't know. Maybe his adrenaline's going. That's why it was, like, 321, whatever, puncture wounds, stab wounds, whatever it was. So, like, yeah.
Just a
I could
fit
see,
of rage.
Yeah, just rage or drugs. Like, you know, if you're on the right stuff, like, you can just go for days, right? So
I could go on for days and days. I feel like we do a lot of TikTok.
Yeah.
And if people don't know TikTok.
People don't know it. Like, man. I'm always saying things. Someone who's like, oh, I'm a savage. I'm like, classic, you know? And then it's like, oh, that would be like a ghost. I'm like, you know?
Yeah. Like, but no one gets it.
Nobody
so
gets
bad.
It.
Anyways.
I'm bad.
So
I'm like a 14-year-old girl.
Ryan notices that there's a body laying face down in the back corner of the Lululemon store. And he's about 90% sure that this person is deceased just by the way the body is positioned, how much blood there is. He says he taps slightly on the person.
Oh my God, you actually touch somebody?
I don't think I could.
I don't think I
could
be on 911. Like,
it's hard
I'm
to
not
say.
Touching any, at least first 911. And then, you know,
you
once I
assess.
Once I get like helps on the way. Hey, like, you know, vocally and what do you do? Do you touch them with your hand or do you like kind of kick them a bit? Like, that's
know.
Pretty bad.
It's
I don't
hard
want
to
use
say
my
what
foot,
you
though.
Would do in that situation, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I think I'll, I
you
said
usually
that,
smell the difference.
Well, if this is really
I'm
fresh.
I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying, I'm guessing if it's been more than a few hours, like, you know, it's probably
oh
smelling
my God,
really
I can't imagine
nasty
walking
of
into such a scene.
All that, yeah.
So, they obviously the both of them freak out. Rachel's so traumatized. She's staying at the front of the store and Ryan comes back and says, like, call 911 right away. So Rachel calls 911 and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to play a clip of that call right now.
Oh, they actually have the call. Mm-hmm. I love when they have that.
911, what is the emergency? There's people in the back of my store. One person seems dead and the other person is breathing. The store was open this morning. I think one of my managers came in to open it. Someone's tied her up. I need an ambulance right away.
Wait, there's two people?
Yeah. Okay, so the one person that was found dead was Jaina Murray. And the other person located in the store was bound by zip ties around her arms and legs and in a different room. Actually, she was kind of half in the bathroom and half out into the hallway.
And she was dead.
She was alive. And
yeah, she said breathing. Right? Mm-hmm.
So she says there's two people in her store. They are both Lululemon employees.
Oh.
And
zip tie, that means like premeditated for sure. Like nobody just, oh, I happen to find some zip ties. I mean, you need the big ones.
Yeah, yeah. And
like,
it's,
that's actually,
It's clearly some sort of attack on these two women. And
right.
So this manager, Rachel, she's
yoga pants, man. You can't be wearing that shit. Sorry.
So they right away, they call 911. 911's on the way. And they're trying to piece together, like, what in the world has happened here? There's so much damage done to Jaina's body. She had been fighting this entire time.
She's the one that was 321.
She had 321 different wounds.
That was like, so somebody was really out to, like, harm her. Like, it was like a emotional, like, one of those, like, passion type.
Yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Unless there's somebody that just really like that psychotic or some crazy drugs.
I have never heard of a crime where there has been that much force.
How do you
to
even like recognize that many? Wouldn't they like, if you keep smacking the same hole, doesn't it just kind of get bigger and more like?
So the autopsy showed
how do you have,
that
were they pins?
About 50% of those were wounds, defensive wounds. So kind of her. On her arms and her hands, like trying to away from her head.
So it was a knife.
There were 10 different objects that were located within the store that were used as murder weapons. There were like box cutters, hammers, all these different types of weapons used from within the store. There were like hangers and
how
wires.
How do you have this many weapons at a Lululemon store? I mean, I understand box cutters, scissors.
That's all you need,
yeah,
right?
I know, but 10?
Yeah.
You
can see an image of what those particular devices were that were used. Very, very strange.
Yeah, they didn't bring their own shit? That's kind of weird.
It's a very good question. So they automatically come in and they scoop up Brittany Norwood. She is I think she was 29 years old at the time. She was scooped up, brought to the hospital right away. Like, this poor girl has been under attack. She just lost her friend in this brutal attack.
She's alive.
So a little bit of background on these two girls, because I think it's important just to set a little bit of emotional idea of their upbringing and that sort of thing. So Jaina Murray was 30 years old. This is the girl that was deceased at the scene. She was a Caucasian, came from a well-educated family. She was currently going to school for a dual master's degree at Johns Hopkins University. She's very well-educated. It's funny, actually, she was doing business and communications, as I did. Yeah. This is kind of funny. Yeah. Just something I noticed, because samesies. So, poor girl. She was well-loved by friends and family. There were, of the research and the podcasts that I listened to covering this case, there was no bad words said about Jaina. She had this infectious smile that people said, and I feel like that's always the case. Like, the people that are attacked so viciously always were such kind-hearted people and just deserved this the least. She was planning to get engaged soon. She had a long-term boyfriend, and they had been looking at rings, and just like off to a great start in life, right? She had so many goals for her career path, and
so it was a stalker or some ex? Sorry, I know you want to.
So many questions, right? Yeah. So the second victim, Brittany Norwood, she is an African-American girl who also came from a well-educated family. She was a professional soccer player. She had won a scholarship to go on to college and play professional soccer.
So both are like very, you know, up and coming, so to speak.
Well educated. Their families. Brittany actually had 8 brothers and sisters, so came from a really large family. I think one of her brothers was like an architect or an engineer and maybe a professor of some sort. So, good families.
Yeah.
And so when they bring Brittany into the hospital and start asking her questions, because, you know, they want to get down to the bottom of this as soon as possible. Because
just spit it out.
This is not something that happens in Bethesda. It's like people are freaking out. There's 2 people, apparently, as you'll hear Brittany give a description of 2 individuals that she believes has committed this attack, on the loose. Self-defense sales in Bethesda almost doubled during the time that this had been going on, because people didn't know if there were like crazy people on the loose that had did this gruesome attack. And sales within the Bethesda area for all of the businesses locally went down 50%. So it was like this crazy inflation of like a self-defense and then decrease in sales because people just didn't want to be out and about anymore. It's very strange.
Really? That doesn't happen.
It happened.
Like, I've never been anywhere where it's like, oh my God, there's a criminal on the loose, like, hide your kids, hide your wife. Like, it's not one of those, you know what I mean, though? Whenever we hear about like a murder or something, we're like, all right, whatever. Like, unfortunately, but that's how it usually is, right?
Yeah. Like
they don't talk about anything details. They're like, yeah, someone just died. We won't release identity, age, anything, nothing. Like, nothing. Literally, they give you zero information.
And I'm sure they didn't at the time. I think that this kind of unfolded after the fact. But if you think of that happening in our local city, like, say,
what happened like a month ago, where, you know, there's a shooting, somebody died, but they don't say anything, so nobody even gets jacked up because they're not even like, you know what I mean? When there's no zero details, you're not interested. Like,
that's true. But I think the oversensationalized part of this story is that it happened in this like well-off city. This huge like Lululemon store, like people know the brand, and that shit just doesn't happen. Also, the fact that this murder was so gruesome.
Yeah.
So they start asking Brittany, and she begins telling a story about 2 men that came in that night after Brittany had called her coworker Jaina after they had locked up that night at work. That she had forgot her wallet at the Lululemon store, and she had her busker, her Metro card, in there to get home. So she's walking to the Metro, and Jaina had a car that she drove to and from work. So Jaina had already left. Brittany had only been working at this Lululemon location for, I think, about a month. And so she didn't have Jaina's phone number, but she's like, shoot, like I need to get a hold of Jaina to let me back in the Lululemon store because I need my wallet in order to get home. So Brittany starts calling around some other coworkers and like, hey, do you have Jaina's number? I need to reach her to get a hold of her so I can get back. And she called a few people. And I think by the third call, she ended up tracking down Jaina's phone number. So she calls Jaina and says, hey, girl, I left my wallet in the store. Can you come back? I'm so sorry. Like, can you come back? Let me in.
Oh, damn.
Because I can't get home otherwise. Mm-hmm. And Jaina was like, yeah, I mean, I guess I can come back. I forgot my laptop there and I was just going to wait till morning to come back and grab it. But, you know, since you need to get in, I'll just come back also and grab my laptop. So Jaina and Brittany meet back at the store. This is around 10 o'clock now on the evening of March 11th. Yeah. So they go back into the store, clearly don't lock the door behind them, which is why in the next morning.
Which you always should do.
Especially
as a female.
Yeah. Learning note, lock the doors behind you late at night. But again, you're not thinking of that, right?
You should always, but yeah.
Brittany supposedly tells Jaina she can't find her wallet. She's like, shit, I don't know where it is. So Jaina's like, you know what? We're going to have to wait till morning. Like, I got to get going here. So just take my Metro card and you can use it until tomorrow and give it back to me then. And then you can come, you know, look again. I got to get out of here. So they're supposedly on their way out of the store when two men, Brittany describes them as one taller guy and one shorter guy wearing all black. One had a backpack and they're both wearing black toques on their head, kind of covering their face a little bit. They enter the store and just start going nuts on these two girls. She says that by the way they're talking and their language, she's pretty certain that they're two white males. And they're just beating Jaina. They're throwing her in a corner. So the taller guy is attacking Jaina. The shorter guy is attacking Brittany. And they're just saying all of these horrible, horrible things to the both of them. And Brittany says that they're making racial slurs to her and saying the N-word and just calling them all kinds of like sluts and all these harsh, harsh things. And Brittany says like she's confused, like she doesn't know what's going on. She's
like
calling out
due to actual Lululemon. Then it's like a bad stigma that they have or something.
It's like a brand attack kind of thing,
brand or just lifestyle
or like a robbery gone wrong.
Sometimes if you're robbing a place, you want to like have that aggression in order to try to make people submissive, right? So you kind of get all crazy.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Like it could go so many ways, and it definitely does sound like a plot from a movie.
Yeah, it does.
So apparently, at some point, the both women are sexually assaulted, and Brittany is bound with the zip ties, and then at some point, the two men leave. They flee the scene, they take the money from the store, and they're gone. And Brittany mentions that the one guy said to her, you know, the reason why you're still alive is because you were more fuckable, is what he tells her. And that was something that kind of stood out because, you know, I think as the story unfolds, you'll see how this kind of all folds together. So this is what's happening at the point where Brittany finally realizes like her friend's been murdered and these two men have attacked her in her place of work. So the investigation kind of kicks off because they really want to find out what happened here. They want to get justice for the victims. And
wow, she's lucky though.
Yeah. And she kind of felt a little bit of guilt because she's thinking, if I wouldn't have went back to the store to get my wallet, like this wouldn't have happened. Right. And, you know, the lead investigator on this case, he was a young cop at the time. I think he was around 30 or 31 years old. And his name was Dimitri Reuven, Detective Reuven. And this guy was a freaking saint. Like he was so sweet right from the get-go, like wanting justice for Jaina. And really just made it a mission to solve this case because he had, I think, a 6 or 7 month old baby at home. And he just felt like this could have been anyone's daughter. And he was just really driven by this. And I think with that new investigator, like he really wanted to take this case and make it his own.
And they all should have that passion. But when you're fresh, you're like, you want to make a difference. Makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So they start putting this story together and they're getting to work. Unfortunately, the Lululemon store didn't have any surveillance at the time. There were no cameras anywhere.
Zero. That doesn't make any sense.
Especially in like a nice upscale area, you'd think that.
Doesn't matter. I mean, just for even for like employee theft and, you know, all that typical stuff that goes on in retail, like you'd imagine they'd have a couple cameras. They're not that expensive.
Yeah, exactly. That's now the crazy. Apple store next door most definitely had cameras. Sure. So they start getting into some of the footage from that night from the Apple store. And what they immediately see during that same time is indeed two men, one taller, one shorter, and they're wearing all black. One's coincidentally got a backpack on. They're like, these are the guys. These for sure are the guys. It matches exactly what Brittany was saying about the two descriptions. We need to find these guys. So Detective Reuven was just coincidentally watching the area one night. This was roughly like 3 or 4 days later after the attack. He's
like, don't tell me he sees the same description.
Yeah, so he goes around the same time and parks close by on the street.
Good, but
and wouldn't you know that these two men walk by and he's like, what the hell? So he calls him back up right away. He's like, this is too good to be true. Like, how is it that these two guys are walking around the same time wearing the same clothing, all black, like wearing black toques, one's got a backpack. So they scoop them up right away and they're like, this is fucking suspicious. And they question them.
Well, it's true because most like guys don't typically shop together. If this is like an outlet, it's a little bit weird. You know what I mean?
Now, keep in mind, there are other shops and restaurants nearby. So So they bring them in for questioning.
With a backpack.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, what were you doing at this day and this time, you know, when the murder would have taken place? And they say, you know, that they were walking to work and they're like, let me show you something. So they pull up surveillance footage and show the two men the video camera surveillance of them walking past the Lululemon store at that hour. And they're like, oh, yeah, that was us.
What?
And the cop's like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, we work at a restaurant like down the street. We're busboys and we commute together every day.
Whoa.
And they're like, why would they? Because
that shit's so grainy. You know what I mean? Like, especially at nighttime, like just say but, no. But
the,
like
the surveillance footage was pretty clear. Like you could tell.
Yes, but it's you can always dispute that. Like it, honestly, it's I know it's crazy. Like even when it's like, oh, that's him. But like. Sometimes it can be disputed and people are like, get out of it. When it's like, yeah, that looks like him. It's like, yeah, and it gets thrown out. If there's like that 1%, you know?
Okay, but listen.
Sorry.
So.
But wow, that's pretty. Pivotal.
They check out. They are accounted for and they have completely.
They place themselves on the crime scene.
No, they're completely. Their time is completely accounted for and they were working at their restaurant job around the corner at that time that the murder was taking place. So they were crossed off the list as potential suspects.
What?
Mm-hmm. Confusing, right? Because Brittany gave this description that these were the two guys. So like, what are the chances that they would find these two men that look very similar to the description? And they talked to the managers, customers at the
and
restaurant during this time. And they're like,
the video.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, that's us. Like we were walking home from work. We finished our shift and we were walking home. Like they are innocent. They have no reason not to be like, yeah, that was us. I promise this is all going to make sense.
Okay.
So they were no longer suspects. And they're like, oh my God, like Detective Reuven's now like, now I kind of have to go back to square one. They go back to Brittany and were like, listen, if there's any sort of details you're missing, like we need to know more details because, you know, we thought we had persons of interest and it turns out that they're not. So
it's like DNA or anything like that. No?
They were
accounted
for.
Weren't they like raped or something?
Hmm?
Weren't they like raped and all that? Or?
Oh, yes. So, yeah, I'll get there on that part too because there's more to that. They asked Brittany and she's just telling the same story. There's not really any other details that she can give than what she's already mentioned. So they put out an award. I think it was like $150,000 for an award on trying.
An award?
Yeah.
Or reward?
Reward.
We're going to give you an award for anyone that.
Oh my God. I've been messing up words lately. Have you noticed?
I have noticed. And it's totally understandable, but
oh my God.
That is funny.
Okay. Okay, so.
And the award goes to.
They put out a reward for $150,000. Like, if anyone's got any tips on this case, like, please call us. So they, for sure, got some pretty good, solid tips come in.
Yeah, that's.
One person said that you need to go check out this homeless guy that's well known in this area. He's into a lot of fights. He's got like anger issues. Like he's known to stir up a lot of shit. And he always goes to this one restaurant at the same time every night. And on this particular night, he was not there. So I guess some of the workers of the store had called in the tip line to let people know, like, you got to check out this guy. He could potentially be a suspect.
Right.
So they hit up
this. Homeless people usually do things in pairs? Seems like they're usually like more solo people.
Right. Now, there was also an additional tip saying that someone else had spotted him that night with another guy that was shorter than him. So this could go somewhere.
Yeah.
So they tracked down this guy some way or another. I mean, how do you even locate a homeless guy? Like, it's not like you've got an address or, I don't know, maybe you had a phone number. Who knows? But they find him somehow and bring him into questioning. And sure enough, that night he had been checked in at a hospital and he was in some sort of fight. He had like a black eye. He had blood on him. And they're immediately questioning him. Now, this guy is so uneducated. He can't even like form sentences. His IQ is just right off the bat, extremely low. They're like, at some points they're like, he didn't even make sense. Like what he was talking about. He was just like so loopy and like not with it. They're like, I just don't think this guy could have even done anything like this. Like he's just like, he's that stupid.
That's
he can't.
Pretty bad, but
yeah.
Cool, thank you. Not even capable of murder.
Yeah. Okay. So they check out all of his blood and DNA and it's not a match. They're like, fuck, like now we're really back to square one. Like what the hell is happening here? So they start looking into items that were left on the scene, you know, those murder weapons and
like fingerprints. Were they wearing gloves? Like what?
There were no fingerprints. However, there were some size 14 shoe prints of blood in the store.
Could be a tall guy,
like 14 feet. What size of shoe do you wear?
Like 10.
Oh my god. They check into all of the evidence that was captured from the scene, the weapons, the evidence photos, and they go back through the store and they notice a size 14 pair of shoes on the shelf in the store.
What?
And they're like, nah, like this can't be, like, this is weird, right?
He must have been there for a while. Like, maybe he had a nap or something. I'm just saying, it went on for a while.
They size up the shoe print from the shoe that was found in the store to the imprint of the blood in the shoe, in the store.
Oh, right.
And sure enough, it matches. It's the same shoe print on the bloody floor.
Well, then there would be blood on the shoe still.
So the shoes definitely showed indication of blood on it, but they were rinsed off in the sink
in
the bathroom.
Doesn't matter. If you throw black light.
Yeah, yeah, I know. That's true. So they're like, what the hell, man? Like, this doesn't make sense. Why would someone come in the store wearing their, I don't know, barefoot or wearing different shoes, take them off, know that there was an extra pair of shoes in the store, put those on, do the murder, attack, theft, and then leave.
To try to mess with either the footprints or...
But how would you know that there was a pair of shoes in the store?
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just saw it and he's like, you know what? I should do a switch up.
Mm-hmm. So.
The guy's clearly nuts.
They go back to Brittany again and they asked her. So, do you sell Lululemon? Does Lululemon sell shoes? And
not very like, much, but they do have some.
They do?
I've seen them, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, maybe not in 2011, but I have seen them now. Yeah.
So she's like, no, but we do have a pair of women's and men's shoes in the store just in case they need to come in and get alterations on their yoga pants, right? And they're wearing like dress shoes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because I think you've actually had this.
Yes.
We've been in a situation at a Lululemon, I remember, and you had to put on those shoes.
Yeah, because I had like sandals on or something.
Yeah, because when you're working out, like your soles of your shoes are bigger than like flip-flops, say, if you were coming in.
Right.
So they want to make sure your leggings are fitting to the proper length. Anyways, so she's like, yeah, we have these pair of shoes that we keep in the store, like just in case. And he's like, oh, okay, this makes sense. So the perpetrator clearly like put on these shoes and whatever. But the problem with that is they're only seeing one pair of footprints. Now, there's allegedly two attackers, but there's only one set of footprints.
Or one did the killing. Like the blood.
But according to Brittany, there were two attacks going on at the same time, right, simultaneously. So they're trying to figure this all out. And then there's also the fact that there's Jaina's car. Okay. So if you remember, Jaina and Brittany met back at the front of the store, and Jaina parked out front of the store in a no parking zone. And I actually Google mapped the store because I wanted to see like what this looks like. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no parking on the front, the storefront of the street. It's just two lanes and there's no parking on each side of the street. Mm-hmm. The employees of Lululemon have to drive around the back of the store and enter through the back.
Right.
Or walk around into the front. But the parking is at the back. So Jaina, because they're only going to be a minute in and out to grab their shit and leave, she parks at the front with her four ways on.
Right.
And when they show up the next morning and, you know, Rachel's unlocking the doors at 8 a.m., there's no car out front. Mm. So Jaina's car had been, they checked and there was, it wasn't towed or impounded or anything like that.
They stole the car.
They find Jaina's car three blocks away, and it was very easy to find because she had a Texas license plate on her car. So if you remember, they're in Maryland. So they were able to locate that car fairly quickly. And actually, one of the officers on call that night had mentioned after the fact, he's like, hey, I saw this car in this parking lot around 12:30 in the morning with the headlights on, and someone was sitting in the passenger seat. He's like, but I didn't think anything of it. Like, there's a lot of shift work ending at this time. Like,
weird, he thought, how just remember that.
Yeah. That's, right. Cause he thought, wow. Cause he noticed it was a Texas license plate. Yeah. So he thought, like, you know, it's something you remember when it's like it's different.
True. Yeah.
So now, like, they're just like, what the hell? So the car was moved. There was someone in it. What is happening? Let me take a sip of water because I need to prepare you for where this is going next. Detective Rubin is sitting at home one night during this weekly ordeal of trying to figure out what the hell happened here. He's like, I am not giving up until this is figured out. He says he can't wrap his head around it. And he's trying to figure out, like, how the hell did these shoes get put on and used during this case? And there's only one set of footprints, right? And the evidence comes back in the shoe prints, and the formation of the steps, the footprints on the floor in the blood. And they were right away, the investigators were like, there's something not right here. The sequence of the footprints don't line up. The way that they were, like, kind of sideways and.
Oh, so he took the shoes off and made prints.
So it was almost like someone had their hands in them to make the prints, or like put them on and like was walking funny. They tried to replicate it. So they actually got like a big chart board and laid it out a long strip.
What a job.
And dipped it in animal blood to like do the prints to see if they could replicate it. They're like, this is impossible. No one walks like this. So he's laying at home with his wife one night, Detective Rubin, and he's like, I got to go back and ask Brittany more questions because this does not look good. Brittany had very superficial wounds to her body. She had just light scratches on her surface of her skin. She had one significant cut on her forehead that required stitches that was pretty deep, and a few other stitches that she required. But overall, like, her wounds were looking a little suspicious, almost like self-inflicted.
Oh.
Whereas Jaina's 330 some odd wounds were like obviously fatal, right? So why would someone attack her so aggressively and not Brittany? Regarding the sexual assaults, they did rape kits on both the women and they came back negative. So there was some indication that Brittany was making up this information, that they weren't actually sexually assaulted, because there was no evidence that that was the case. Then they go back to the car situation, and Detective Rubin's like, I almost want to question Brittany and corner her and ask her some more questions to trip her up, because I think she had something to do with this. And
that's pretty messed up.
The whole unit was like, dude, if you're going to go there, you better not fuck this up. You better not get this wrong, because I mean, if you think about the culture and crime and, you know, regarding the races and regarding sexual assault victims, if you get this wrong, like, this is career ending allegations. Yeah, if you're going to go that route.
That's crazy.
Right? So he's like, I know. But like, you got to think that this is something here, right? Like nothing is adding up. The story seems weird. You know, it just so happens that the description of these two men were actually two men, but they didn't have anything to do with it. So did Brittany see these men and then try to pin it on them this whole time?
Wow.
So
and the whole shoe thing, that's like the biggest giveaway.
Right. Okay. And then Jaina's car that was found three blocks away. Someone what was about clearly.
Cameras? I mean, like, there's no cameras along other stores that you can pick up somebody leaving or like some angles or.
So the only footage was from the Apple store. And what they were able to see from the angle of the store where the front entrance was. Mm-hmm. They were trying. The only thing that they could see was some slight shadows, and they were trying to like replicate it and do a whole nother test on the shadows. And it was crazy how much detail. Just
to see who gets in that car.
But they couldn't. There was no angles. Just so coincidentally that there were no angles of who got in the car and moved it. So when Detective Rubin was like, "I want to bring her in and ask her a little bit more questions on this," they were like, okay, let us finish testing the car, because if Brittany did have something to do with this, we're going to find her blood and Jaina's blood in that car. With what has happened inside the store, sure. She couldn't have moved that car without having some trace of blood there.
Right.
So they do the test, and sure enough, there is Jaina's blood and Brittany's blood found on the steering wheel in the gear shift of Jaina's car.
Oh my gosh.
So now they... get a call from Brittany out of the blue, and she's like, I've got some more information that I forgot to mention when you first interviewed me. I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you this information on her own free will. And they're like, this is too good to be true, because they're already thinking that she's got something she's hiding.
Yeah.
Because at the time, in the first steps of the investigation, they asked Brittany, they're like, have you ever seen Jaina's car? Do you know what it looks like? Because they were looking for it, right? And Brittany's like, I've never seen it. I've never been in it. I've never seen it. I don't know what it looks like. I can't help you there. Right?
Oh,
so
that makes it even
now
worse.
That they have Brittany's DNA in the car, they're like, you're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
You've been in this car. So I think Brittany kind of suspected that that's what was happening. So this is why she made the call and said, I got to come in. I just remembered something. Mm. I need to come in and tell you guys. So she's trying to cover her tracks here now. Yeah. So she goes in. She's like, I actually do remember the perpetrators made me move Jaina's car from the front of the store.
Okay. This is, that's, no. Come like, on. That is like, oh, like that's a ginormous detail that you can't just leave out. And then when things aren't going your way, you're like, oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you.
Like not.
Even though I was raped, everything, I didn't call the cops, but I still moved the car. Come on.
Right, but like not completely out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, what are the perpetrators? Right? The guy's like, hey, move that car, come back though, okay?
Yeah.
Like,
so that's what she
said.
How does
that even work? Like, you can't even make up a decent enough bad story, let alone
a
good one.
Her claims are that they told her to go move the car,
but come back.
And come back.
And she did that.
Because if you don't, then we will kill you, is what they said. And she mentions that she saw the cop. Remember the cop saw her? She mentions that she did see the cop, but she was too scared to say anything because they had her ID and her address. So now she's like, I mean, okay, fine. Like, maybe you forgot because you're under stress and duress and whatever. No. Maybe you missed this. But, like, that's a huge detail to miss.
That is pretty nuts.
In your first question round. So then they start cornering her in the investigation room. You can watch this actually unfold on YouTube. And they're like, listen, like, you are one incredible liar. Like this is
did
a well,
say that?
Yeah. They're like, this is a pretty well concocted story. And I'll give you credit. Like it's a pretty good story from the beginning, surface layer, but the evidence is showing that you have more to tell us and no one believes you. My partner doesn't believe you. My manager doesn't believe you. Your brother and sister aren't going to believe you when we tell them. Your parents aren't going to believe you. They're going to call bullshit, basically. So she's like, no. Like, I'm telling you the truth. And they're like, you know how sometimes, like, we have to get something off our chest? Like, now is the time, right? They're trying to, like, be good and, like, get information from her. And they're like, maybe if
although if I was her, you just stick with your guns and get a lawyer. But...
what blows my mind the most is that she zip tied herself after what she did and laid in the store overnight.
Yeah, that's batshit crazy.
Like, that's a whole other level of psycho. Yeah,
I mean, that's why it would be easy to think.
Like, she almost convinced her lie was real because
when you deceive other people, you don't just deceive them.
That is crazy because the evidence shows, because another reason why they were able to know that she was telling a lie was the zip ties that had her bound by her wrists and her feet. There were teeth marks on the plastic of the zip tie, the ones around her wrists. So they knew that she had, you know, used her teeth to pull that tight.
Well, actually, when you're zip tying, the little bottom part, like the clasp, should actually be on the bottom if you're being zip tied. But if you're zip tying yourself, it would be facing towards you so you could pull it in.
Interesting. Tight. I'm wondering. I didn't hear or read anything about that part, but that is an interesting
because
point.
That, just think about it. If you're zip tying somebody's hands,
right, you're
pulling
not
gonna it. You're gonna pull on it downwards, which is easier than pulling it upwards, which is really hard to do.
Yeah,
like that would just be weird to zip tie and have it where you're pulling up.
Yeah.
You can't get it tight.
That's
as
true.
Well.
So when you look at some of the
that's suspicious
crime scene evidence, you can see you can see Brittany the way she was found. She had her hands zip tied above her head like this, and it looked very staged and posed. Like, you don't just get zip tied like this and stay up like that, right? Like, it just it was like very like
most
not
of the time
legal.
People get zip tied behind their back,
right? But it's just you can look at the pictures online if you really want to, but. So Brittany's in the investigation room and
she stayed in a pose is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a yoga store.
You would.
Mountain pose.
So okay. Yeah. They're like, we're going to bring in your brother. He wants to talk to you. So brother comes in and he's like, Brittany, like the evidence that they're showing us is like pretty believable, man. Like, are you sure? Like, just tell me, like, I can't help you if you don't tell me what happened. Like, if you did do this, like, we need to get a lawyer to defend you. Like, just tell me.
Things work though. Like, I can't help you. Like, okay, how are you going to help me anyways? Like,
I know.
Honestly, right? Like, what are you going to do?
You'd wonder how you'd be thinking.
I got your
point.
Back. If you told me.
Yeah.
You really didn't do it. I'll help
She's
you.
She's like, do you think that they're watching us or can hear us right now? Do you think there's camera? You can.
Of course.
She said this. And he's like, no, I've checked around. There's nothing in here. They can't hear shit. So she goes, he's asking her all this question. She goes, I just want to go home. Like, I don't want to talk about it right now. He's like, they're not going to let you home. Like, go home. There's so much evidence here. They're not letting you go home. You have to tell me right now. So she's like, you know.
Why is this her brother trying to fuck her over?
But it's, I know. But it's always the family member that's
like
able to get, can get the information out. So she's like, you know, the information, like, I just don't want to talk about it here. I can talk about it, like, whatever, at home. The information I'm about to share is, like, going to ruin our family. And so that was enough for detectives to come in and arrest her for first degree murder of her coworker.
Why do these people just shut up? Like, don't say anything.
Well, what do you expect? This should be good news. She fucking...
Oh, no, I'm glad. I always think of like the other side. I'm like
the way that they get away with murder.
Yeah,
like, it happens.
Like, it's so easy, really, when you think about it. Like, if you see some of those like shows where it's like they literally are so guilty, yet they don't say it. They just maintain their bullshit story, and it's like the worst story.
Yeah,
and then somehow they still get out of it, and you're like, what?
I know.
Like, well, because it went through this long,
and it's
huge,
like those little
years
loops.
And loops. Yeah, and like
because
right? There's that 1%. Possible doubt. We can't convict without like with 100% every single jury member has to go with it because there's that one that like literally they just play the game and they get out and it's like dreadfully obvious.
It's usually in cases where they can't find a body. If they can't find a body,
right, something like that,
then they have to go
some
on
technicality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is fucked up. Like when I heard this, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like this girl is some layer of fucked up. So they start going back through her, like just trying to find like, has she like done anything like this before with other people? Like what was the motive? Why did she attack her for no reason? Calling her back to the store with an intent to kill her. Like what happened?
I thought of this. I mean, I swear, just for a little inkling, I was like, what if, because of the whole calling back thing, like, I didn't think she was to do it, but like, maybe she had set her up because maybe it was like a boyfriend, you know,
right? You never situation know, those personal or details.
Whatever, you know, mm-hmm. some story. But I had that little inkling for like a second.
Okay, you should have said something because that would have been an interesting.
Was too far of a long shot.
Exactly. That's my whole point. This case, you would have never guessed.
Yeah. So, well, because I'm in the scenario trying to guess.
Right.
That's why I kind of thought. And you said it was like a crazy story. So I'm thinking of crazy options.
So when they start questioning people around Brittany and people who have been friends with her in the past or have worked with her in the past, they start to unravel a little bit of history about her and that she had this problem with stealing things, which was like so petty. She would steal like lip glosses and perfumes from her coworkers and even her soccer team. Some of the soccer players, like it was like a running joke in the locker room. Like, don't leave your shit in there. She's like, it'll go missing. Like, wow. It was almost like a running joke that Brittany will steal your shit. So
she obviously has some weird values, right? Like it's like a characteristic. It's not necessarily the stealing. It's just,
I can't imagine, do people not understand, like, karma and how bad that is, like, bad energy and vibes to be doing shit like that? So,
I don't think she has a conscience. I mean, for her to do that gruesome and horrible.
So here's where the motive came in.
And like, you know, she's, like, an educated, like, well-to-do, you know, mm-hmm. that's, sorry.
So what happened was, Brittany had been transferred to this particular Lululemon location because she had worked at another location before this, and they were kind of catching on to her like weird behaviors and like stuff and money going missing, and they kind of had a good idea it was her.
Maybe should have some cameras.
This is Lululemon. Come on, I'm sure you can afford it.
You sell like two tops and it pays for your cameras
for the year. Like, that's just so strange. I mean, it's 2011. It's not that far.
5 years, it's like nothing. But anyway.
So they transferred Brittany to this new location because they're thinking, you know, she's just not getting along with people here. They don't like her here. They feel weird.
Then you fire her and you get someone else.
But they couldn't. It's like this weird, again, another Employee Standards Act thing where you can't just like, you need to have for sure evidence or proof if you fire someone. So like, you know what? We're just going to transfer her to another store, give her another shot. Maybe they can handle her.
Someone else's problem.
So same thing started happening. There was this one story about a perfume that went missing out of a one coworker's bag that she had stolen. And again, missing money, missing clothing. So
this girl like confront her and things got a little bit heated.
So exactly. They had this
murder though. That's nuts. That's not good enough. Like, that's not saying it's ever good enough, but like, I thought it'd have to be like something really deep, like, you know,
this is crazy petty. And especially like,
jeez,
for you to like tap your finger 330 times and to like think about how many times that is and how long that would take.
Yes.
Why do that? Why go that far? Why can't you stop? Why can't you rationalize?
Issues, clearly, it's not.
So
they
had this. They had this rule at this particular Lululemon location where they would do bag checks. So anytime employees would leave at the end of a shift, they would have to show each other inside their bags. Mm-hmm. And that night, Brittany had a pair of leggings in her bag with the tag on them, and Jaina confronted her about it. And said, did you pay for those? And Brittany said, yeah, like I bought them, like so-and-so employee checked me out. And Jaina was like, are you sure? Do you have a receipt? And she was like, no, like I don't have a receipt, but you can call her. Like I did pay for them and I bought them. So what happened was they leave the store. Jaina calls this employee to confront them about whether or not Brittany had purchased these leggings. And they're just like, no, I didn't check her out. She didn't buy those for me. She definitely stole those leggings. So when Brittany calls her, I guess, to go meet up to get the Metro card from her, I guess Jaina confronted her saying like, I know you stole those leggings. I just called so-and-so. Like, they know that you have stolen. So basically Brittany knew that she was going to be getting fired, and now she was caught for stealing. Brittany was lined up to get a fitness training job at Equinox, like a really almost like a Soul Cycle, like a pretty well-known popular gym. And she was really excited about this career opportunity. And now she's probably thinking, fuck, like now I'm fucked. Like I'm not going to have references. Like I've just got caught stealing at my other job. Like I am fucked. So it was almost an act of like, you ratted me out type of thing and getting back at her. So I think there's a little bit of gray area in whether Brittany killed her to avoid that information coming out because she knew that Jaina was going to rat on her, or if Jaina actually had ratted on her and Brittany found out and that it was an act of like, fuck you, you told on me, I'm now fucked kind of thing.
Yeah, that's still,
either way.
So I just did some quick math. If it's 321 stab wounds or just some sort of like...
Yeah, mix of both.
Okay, so if you did that every 5 seconds, it would take 27 minutes.
Wow. They weren't able to figure this out of how long it would...
So like whether it was like a, I don't know, scissors or a knife, whatever it was, like 27 minutes... I'm just saying, if you average it out, like I'm sure the first few minutes is much faster once every second or two. But like, really, if you draw it out, like that's nuts. Like that's some endurance.
If you would have told me that, I would have said I would have never believed it. Yeah. It's just almost unbelievable how many times that is and how long that would have taken. This other piece of information is like what really bothers me to the core about this whole case. If you remember the Apple store next by, they share the same wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were gearing up for this new iPad launch, there were employees working late at the store that night and heard banging noises and yelling and fighting and screaming. And one of the employees actually mentioned that she heard only two female voices. So there were no male voices.
Oh my God, how did they not?
And there were like shouting out like, please God, no, like, why are you doing this? Talk to me. And they didn't do anything.
What?
The security guard that was confronted. So the employee went up to the security guard in the Apple store and was like, I'm hearing all this stuff next door. Like, what do you think we should do? Like, what's happening?
Go over? Like, what the hell?
And the security guard apparently was like, it's probably just drama. Like, he figured two girls fighting.
So what?
Just,
he has nothing else to do.
I know.
Literally, that's your job. Just walk over.
And you can look at check. They have cameras inside the Apple store and you can see the employees going up to the wall and like hearing everything happen. They could have saved her life. Like,
so
what's
much
the
for
worst?
This genius bar.
Call one. Oh my God. Call 911. Yeah. When in doubt, what is the.
And doesn't hurt.
We always go back to like that situation about what happened here at our house. Like, I waited. I hesitated. Yeah. Don't hesitate. That's our new rule.
So, Natalie, I get home. And she tells me that there's a guy with wearing orange pants.
No, he was wearing all black but had orange hair.
Orange hair, sorry. Walking around with a large knife and little like fling it around,
dangling
just, like,
it.
And then she was doing dishes. She looked out and they like locked eyes, and
he was
staring at you and he was playing with it while looking at you.
It was suspicious, and
then
I hesitated.
You wait for me to get home, and then you're like, "Hey, this is what happened, like." Well, fucking call the cops. What if he goes and kills somebody or assaults somebody? Like, you know, like what if?
I know. I think there's always this hesitation because you just feel like you don't want to be wrong. Like you don't want to waste their time. So I think that's a good life lesson.
It's not on you. At least you did your part. Like, you
I know.
Out there.
And even in this case, they're like, what's the worst that could happen? You call the cops and they show up and it's like, you know, just a domestic fight between two girls. Like,
I think a good takeaway is question more. It could save somebody's life, or maybe not their life, but it could save a lot of grief or an assault or some sort of harm or some sort of emotional trauma. Like, it doesn't hurt to, you know, just be a little more.
I always try to give the benefit of the doubt and saying like, we don't know what we would do in this case. Like, if we were in the Apple store hearing this going on, I kind of feel like I would do something.
I think I would too.
Like, and they even said that they heard groaning and moanings and like loud breathing. Like, come on. It's just, I feel bad though that they now have to live with that for the rest of their lives, knowing that they heard this happen and didn't do anything about it.
Wow.
So that in and of itself is like so harsh.
Kira is feeling bad for Brittany for calling her.
Yeah.
Back. And then it's like,
yeah,
nope.
I can't believe it. So she got charged with first degree murder, and she had actually had the nerve to apply for an appeal a few years later, and it obviously was denied. But she will serve the rest of her life in jail, just like she deserves.
Yeah, she ain't doing no Equinox fitness class.
Hells to the no.
To the no, no, no.
Hell to the no. Another TikTok. Anyways, that's all I've got for you. That was so bizarre.
That was some serious fucked up
fuckery.
On a scale of
1 to fuck. You always say I swear too much in this episode, so I toned it down a bit. Did I? Or yeah. No? Yeah?
A little bit? Yeah, there's a part where you went, but it was like,
I think it was just.
Yeah. No, it was, yeah, yeah, it was fine.
It was like, justified. Yeah. Not justice. Oh my God. Anyways, so this is a longer episode. I almost thought that I was going to have to split this into two because there were so many details, but we made it. And if you guys have not already followed us on Instagram at Crime Poppers, please do so.
Lock your doors.
Do that also. And then rate and review us on your podcast listening platform, namely Apple Podcasts, because I don't even think you can do it on Spotify as far as I'm concerned. So with that being said, we shall chat with you guys next week.
Thank you. Take care.